Proverbs 17, verse 11. God's word says here, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. I want to preach to you tonight in hopes of helping us all understand the evil of rebellion. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, I want to be a help and a blessing. Lord, you know my heart. I'm not trying to scold or hurt anyone, God. But I do need to preach what you've given me. I do need to feed your people and, God, instruct your flock and guiding and using this precious book, Lord. I pray now through your Spirit that you'd help me to be brief, concise, and Lord God, you'd lead my every thought. And Holy Spirit, fill this place. Perfect liberty. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the great things that you have done and continue to do in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me read to you some statistics. Every day in America, 2,989 children witness the divorce of their parents. Every day in America, 3,288 teenagers run away from home. Every day in America, 6 teenagers commit suicide. Every day in America, 438 teens are arrested for drinking. Every day in America, 211 teenagers are arrested for drug-related crimes. Every day in America, 2,861 teenagers will drop out of school. Every day in America, 1,629 teenagers will be placed in an adult jail for some reason. Every day in America, listen to this. This is the biggest number on my paper. 7,742 teenagers will become sexually active every day. Every day in America, 1,116 girls will become pregnant. And the most unbelievable number, every day in America, bigger than everything else, 8,219 teenagers will acquire some type of sexually transmitted disease in America. Folks, those numbers are astounding. They're beyond belief. But I want to say to you this evening, they all stem from one word. Rebellion. Rebellion. Now, I understand that many times teenagers are victims of their homes, their families, as children. But the fact is, somewhere, somebody's rebelling. Whether it's mom or dad, whether it's themselves. Either way, somebody is rebelling. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, the evil of rebellion. If we had to boil down the problems in America to one main thing, it would be this. Rebellion, as you understand what it is open resistance to lawful authority. Yeah. Open resistance to lawful authority. It's to be stiff-necked. It's to be stubborn against the rules. Yep. It's the attitude, I just don't care. Yeah. What anybody says, what anybody thinks, I just don't care. I really don't have to tell you a whole lot about what it means, but there's one thing that maybe I want to help you understand, maybe you don't understand about rebellion, is it normally stems from bitterness in the heart. Bitterness. That bitterness comes from evil spirits, unclean spirits in the world, spiritual wickedness. Because you understand, the devil is number one, all he ever has been is rebellious. And his prince and power of the air, the spiritual wickedness in high places, what the Bible calls even witchcraft, is all spiritual warfare to try to make people like you and me, saved or unsaved, it doesn't matter. Anybody can be rebellious.
Oh yeah.
Right. Anybody can be rebellious. Right. And rebellion is extremely evil. The evil man here in our verse seeketh only rebellion. That's all an evil man seeks. That's all he looks for. That's all he wants. That's all he desires. That's what it says. Only. Seeketh only rebellion. That's the only thing he wants out of. So, in other words, I'm going to turn that around, and it absolutely still it says the same thing. Rebellion stems then from an evil heart.
Yeah,
rebellion stems from an evil heart.
Yeah.
It is an evil, that is, rebellion is a very serious evil in our country,
right,
in our community, in our society, in our nation, in our cities. Listen, rebellion is extremely evil. It's only evil. There's nothing good about it.
Amen.
There never will be anything good about it. And it stems from bitterness. It stems from spiritual warfare that has caused a person to become bitter.
Yep. Right.
And they become rebellious. Now, turn over with me. We'll not be back to Proverbs, but turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15 tonight. This is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I want to show you what I believe is probably the best definition or description of rebellion and how evil it is. And all I'm trying to do tonight is help you understand through the Word of God and by the grace of God that whatever rebellion you are toying with is extremely evil. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I'm not telling you. I know that we're all in church on a Sunday night on purpose. I understand that. But that does not change the fact that we have a tendency as sinners to be rebellious.
Right.
Okay? And many times we just don't understand how serious it is, especially for you young people.
Yeah, that's right.
1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, now Samuel's the prophet, the preacher, Saul's the king. The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. By the way, God uses his preachers. Okay? God uses his preachers to help people find his will.
Right.
Yeah. Saul became king because God used his preacher to get Saul, to appoint Saul, then to anoint Saul. Don't forget that. It'll help you. But again, rebellion, let's keep that in mind. The Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people. Whose people? God's people, the children of Israel. And then now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go, this is Samuel telling Saul, the king, by the way, the preacher telling the king what to do. But it's God speaking through him. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. Slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telaim, and 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Is that what God said? And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. That means God saying, he doesn't say I repent like you think about repentance unto salvation. It just means he's sorry. He's sorry. He's sorry that Saul was ever king. For he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. It grieved Samuel. He cried unto the Lord all night. This is not necessarily in my notes, but as the Lord leads, I want to say something to you. Rebellion always grieves those who are closest to you.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Come on, preach it.
Rebellion always grieves those who are closest That's to you. Right. Samuel cried all night long, praying, crying, brokenhearted over Saul, his king. Listen, I just want you to understand, rebellion is evil.
Yeah.
When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, has passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. Notice, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, Well, they have brought them from the Amalekites. They have brought them. For the people spared the best of the sheep, the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, I'll tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go, utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? But didst fly upon the spoil, and didst, what's that next word?
Evil.
Evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now listen, I'm going to read this whole text here, then we're going to talk about it. But rebellion is always subtle, it's always sneaky, and it's in such a way that Saul literally says here, I have obeyed. Let's read on. I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone the way the Lord, which the Lord sent me. I brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?
Amen.
Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now look up here for a minute. This passage is a great picture of exactly what God calls rebellion.
Right.
Now listen, understand something. Most people would have said that Saul was okay. He did good enough. He did pretty close to what God told him. But God said it was evil.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Partial obedience, listen to me, dearly beloved, tonight. Partial obedience is still disobedience.
Yeah.
Well, you do what God says up to a point.
Yep. Right.
Well, you do what God says up until where you don't feel comfortable anymore.
Yep. Amen. That's right.
Verse 3, Saul was told to kill all of the Amalekites. Now, let me give you a little bit of history. Amalek is a descendant of Esau, the brother of Jacob, twin brother. Jacob is a picture of the spirit. Esau is a picture of the flesh.
Right.
The flesh and the spirit always fighting against each other, always a picture of the flesh. And God wanted Amalek wiped out.
Right.
Everything wiped out, utterly destroyed are the words that God used. Now this sounds extreme, but listen to me tonight. God wanted it that way. That's what God wanted from Saul. Why? Because this picture is for you and for me that we are to crucify the flesh.
Right.
We are to mortify the deeds of our flesh. We are not to allow anything to come into our lives and our hearts that would at all defile the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
The Bible says that we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Yeah. Yep.
What that means, dearly beloved, listen, we're not to even give the flesh a crack.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not even to let the flesh have a foot in the door.
Yeah.
We're to keep the door closed at all times, completely annihilating anything that would come against God's people, God's will in our lives. God wanted Amalek. God still wants us today to crucify the flesh, to overcome evil by being completely filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But listen now. Saul, verse 7, started out on the right path. Saul started out. Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur. Over against Egypt. Saul started out on the right path. But look, verse 8, he stopped short.
Yeah.
He took Agag, the king of Amalek, alive. That's not what God told him to do.
Yep.
He stopped short of full obedience. God in verse 19 called it disobedience. God in verse 19 called it evil. Now you say, well man, what is the big deal? That's what I'm going to try to help you with tonight. To understand, when I stop short of what God says, even though it doesn't make sense, even though I don't feel like this really is necessary, when I stop short of what God tells me to do, I'm still in rebellion. I'm still in disobedience. I'm still not fulfilling God's will for my life.
Yeah.
God's will for Saul was to wipe out Amalek, everything that breathed.
Yep, right.
Let's not get caught up on why God, these people and the innocent and all this other stuff. That's the point is this. God had a will for Saul's life. God had a way to make it happen.
Yep.
God was going to make it happen, and God wanted it to happen.
Yep.
But Saul said, I'll stop right here.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
I'm going to stop right here.
Right.
Why did God say,
yep,
this was so evil? I mean, come on. If you were to compare this to,
right,
murder, you say, well, he did murder everybody. No, he didn't. He was doing what God said.
Yeah,
you say, well, if you compare this to the things that we talked about in our before we started, you know, the divorces and the child early age sexual activity, and not to mention all the molestation and all of the teenage pregnancies, and you say, well, this is no big deal compared to all of that. No, listen, what you don't understand is this is always how it starts.
Yeah.
This is how it starts.
Yeah.
With the little things that we don't think are so bad. Why does God call this so evil? Number one, because regardless of how far we go or where we stop, any rebellion, listen now, be careful, any rebellion boasts itself against the Word of God. Look in verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Who told Saul to do this? The Lord of hosts.
Yep.
Whose word was this? God's. You said, well, the preacher, Samuel. No. Samuel was telling him directly what God said. Therefore, the end of verse 1, therefore hearken now unto the voice of the words of the Lord. This was God's word for Saul. This was God's word. All evil rebellion is when we do something against the word of God.
Yep, that's right. Amen. That's right.
We have come to such a place in our country today. My heart is so broken and burdened. But we have come to such a place in our country today where people just don't care. They pick and choose what God says, what they like, what's comfortable, what's easy. And they say, well, okay, the rest of it is for another generation. It's for another time. It's for another people. But I'm going to pick this and choose this and live that way and do this. But wait a minute. If it's in God's Word, it's still God's Word.
Amen.
And rebellion is when I boast myself and I say, well, okay, I know that God said that, but I just don't care.
Yeah, all great.
All sin, listen, all sin is rebellion against the Word of God.
Yeah, amen.
I don't need to go back to the Garden of Eden, but I mean, good night. What's the big deal in eating a piece of fruit, sister?
Yep.
What's the big deal in eating a piece of fruit, brother?
Right.
Well, it was rebellion against the Word of God who told them not to.
Yep.
I don't need to go back there, but that's all sin is.
Yep.
But every time we rebel, in rebellion we against God's Word, we're boasting ourselves against Him, against what He's told us to do. Look in verse 23. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as idolatry, iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord.
Yep.
Now you say, wait a minute, preacher. He went down to Amalek.
Yeah, home.
He killed a bunch of those Amalekites.
Right.
He was busy serving the Lord.
Right.
And I know, I'm not trying to tell you anything. It's just what the Bible says. But the Bible also says that he rejected the word of the Lord. He didn't reject it all, preacher. I know that. But he rejected enough of it to where God said, that's it.
Yeah, amen.
That's evil. That's rebellion.
Amen.
I mean, I know we're all in church on a Sunday night, and listen, but there's always something in the Bible that hits us wrong, that rubs us wrong, and we say, okay, well, I just don't think I believe that.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
That's the beginning of a bad, bad, bad direction that you're taking right. When you start saying that.
Yep. Amen.
I just don't think I agree with that. I don't think I'm not talking about anything. Listen, open to interpretation. And this, the Word of God was exactly plain. He did not stumble. He did not stutter. He did not hesitate. He told Saul exactly what to do. There was no questions. There was no blanks to fill in. You understand? And there was no even thinking about. He just needed to do what God said.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen. Right.
Why? See, rebellion, look in verse 17. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight.
Yep.
See, the problem is, Saul was no longer little in his own sight. Saul was now king.
Yep.
Saul was now in charge. Saul had now been given some authority, and it went to his head.
Yep.
And all I'm saying is, it's rebellion is always pride.
Yeah. Amen.
Because I'm boasting myself against God. I'm believing in my heart that I know better than what God has. I know better than God. I'm smarter. I'm wiser. I'm more understanding than God is. God's word can't be true. It just doesn't make sense. So that is not ever anything but rebellion.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
Saul was acting in his flesh. Saul was acting in his pride. And let me make a statement to you. I think it's revealing to me anyway. Since Saul was acting in his flesh, he couldn't destroy the flesh.
Yep.
See, remember I said Amalek's a picture of the flesh,
right.
the spirit and the flesh, and it's just a type, it's a picture to help us understand that our old sin nature, the old me, is still in here, but if I'll walk in the spirit, I'll be filled with the spirit, I'll strengthen the spirit of God, and I'll mortify, and I'll crucify, and I'll not do the lust and the will of the flesh. But see, if I'm walking in my flesh, if I'm living in my flesh, I'm not going to be able to destroy my flesh, because I'm using it. I'm walking in it.
Yeah.
I'm living in it.
Right.
Do you see what I'm talking about tonight? So see, the problem was his pride, which is a source which stems from our flesh. And see, he was not able to destroy the flesh all the way like he needed to, because he was walking in his flesh.
Yeah, amen.
Rebellion always boasts itself against God's word. And listen, God doesn't take that lightly.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
Christianity, some of you are newly saved and maybe just new into our church, but listen, Christianity is not about a bunch of rules and regulations, but what it is about is taking God's word seriously.
Amen.
And living, I'm never going to be able to fulfill it all to the
right.
T. I'm always going to be sinner. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight, but this was willful. This was on purpose.
Yeah.
This, he knew what he was doing.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
He knew exactly what God said, and then he did exactly. No, he didn't do exactly. He did everything up to a certain point.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So all I'm trying to get you to see is God takes His word seriously. God has elevated His word above His own name. And you and me as Christians, we need to get in this book and find out what God wants for us. Because whatever God wants for us and wants from us is what's going to help us. It's what's going to grow us. It's what's going to edify us and educate us and strengthen us. And listen, this would have helped Saul to do what God said. But instead, it became the worst day of his life.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Amen. It boasts itself against God's word. Why is rebellion so evil? Number two, because it's badly misunderstood.
Yep. Amen.
Verse 13. Samuel came to Saul. Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." What do you mean, Saul? What are you talking about? You see, he didn't even understand what he had done. He didn't even understand what he had done. He didn't see anything wrong with it.
Right.
To me, this is where I think, now, a lot of people who have the best interests, the best desires, if you will, very sincere and intentions are earnest, and they're but they don't understand that. Listen, if I don't take God's word seriously, there's still going to be consequences. I'm never going to have the fullness of the blessings and the benefits and the walk and all the things that we talk about. The Christian life is never really going to be all that it could be to me, because I just don't really understand what the big deal is. Saul did not understand what the big deal was.
Right.
Listen to me tonight. Are you listening to me? And see, most people don't understand that this is a big deal. Rebellion is evil because it's so sneaky. Saul said, "Blessed be thou. I have performed the command. I've done it.
Yep.
I've done what God said."
That's right.
This is the liberal mentality of today in our country. The reason I read to you those stats is because people have come to a place where they think it's no big deal. I'm good enough.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Now, don't get nervous on me. I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect or sinless, but we ought to understand that God's word is still applicable to today.
Yeah, amen.
To our generation.
Yeah.
But see, rebellion is often treated as, well, I'm not that bad.
Right.
I did most of what God said.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, there's a difference between not knowing, okay?
Yeah.
As a new Christian, not knowing, so you're still growing. I'm not talking to you at that point. You obviously have to grow and learn, but as God reveals things to you, then you have to be very careful to understand, this is what God wants from me. This is where God's going to bless me. This is where God wants me to go and obey by faith and trust Him. Then He's going to help me and guide me through this.
Yeah.
But see, I'm not talking to you if you don't know. Obviously, then you don't know. God's not going to hold you responsible. But listen, there's a time you need to get in the book and realize, now I'm a child of God. This is what God wants for me. This is my guidebook for life. This is the Word of God. This is my good shepherd. Amen. This is the written Word, Jesus Christ in Word. This is Him. This is God, the Word of God. Amen. Get in there and find out what God wants for you. Be in every church service and understand, because God's going to help you, teach you new things, and give you new understanding about what He wants from. And it's going to grow you to the place where you can stand up and say, next time we have a testimony service, you can be the one to say, God has done great things for me. Let me tell you, I obeyed God. I trusted Him. And boy, look what He did.
Amen.
But see, rebellion is where I say, well, you know, I'm good enough.
Right.
And we don't understand that God's not happy. He's fine with you if that's all you understand, if that's all you know. But ignorance is not bliss, okay? God wants you to learn. He says to grow. He says to feed. He says to get you grow in grace and understanding and knowledge. But you can't just spend the rest of your life by saying, well, I'm not a bad person.
Yeah.
I'm an okay person. I'm not so bad. But see, we don't understand that God calls it rebellion.
Amen.
He calls it evil because it's not going to get you where you need to be. It's not going to put you in the place where He can bless you. You say, well it, God said, I have rejected you, Saul.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, if Saul was saved, he still went to heaven. I believe he was. Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah.
And early on in the text, we find out, not in this chapter, but early on in his life, we find out, well, God gave him another heart. And that's what salvation is, man. He gives you all things made new from the heart inside out. And it works its way out on everything and every area of our life. But listen, Saul was saved, but he came to a place where he didn't appreciate, he didn't respect, he didn't revere that what God wanted for him. Every single thing was important, and he needed to go all the way through, follow through, but he didn't understand that.
Yeah.
And tonight I'm trying to help you understand that. I hope you're not misunderstanding me. I'm not trying to beat you up or make you think that there's no way you can ever live up to these standards. That's not what I mean. But there's a time and a place where you can find out what God wants, and then you can do it, because God's trying to help you. He's trying to grow you. He wants to bless you. He would have given Saul the victory over those Amalekites, and Saul would have grown in his power and his authority over the kingdom. He would have blessed Saul.
Yeah, man. That's right. Yep.
I mean, he had already anointed him as king. And when you get saved, it's a picture of God anoints us with his Holy Spirit. He puts his Spirit in us. He gives us the understanding, the willingness, if you will, the desire to know more about the Bible. But so many people today and in this generation, they just don't find it that important to find out what God says. They don't find it that big of a deal to know what God wants. They don't really understand that this is the will of God. This is what God wants for me. It's very specific. It's very plain. It's very perfect. It's always pure. And it's where God's power and blessings are always going to be. Right there where He wants you to be. And everything He tells you is for a reason.
Amen.
I mean, can you imagine Noah?
Right.
God told him, build an ark. Build it like this. This gopher wood, this pitch, this, everything he wanted, the dimensions. Can you imagine Noah? So, okay. I can't find all that wood and all this pitch. Man, that's too much work. I'm just going to build me a little canoe.
Yeah, there you go.
Me and my family will fit in this canoe.
Yeah.
Now, do you think God would have said, okay, Noah, you're right. No. He had to do it all the way.
Yeah, right.
Because God was going to use that ark to save all the animals, everything that breathed the breath of life, not to mention his family. That's just one example that comes to mind. But there's things in the Bible that God tells us what to do and how to do it. And he gives us instructions. And he gives very specific details. Why? Because he wants us to do everything for he's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a perfect will for our lives.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
But rebellion is evil because so many times it's badly misunderstood. We just don't understand how important it is to do what God says, because it comes to a place, can I tell you this, with all compassion. Living by faith, listen now, is always going to come to a place where it's a little uncomfortable.
Yep, that's right, man.
That's right.
Because it goes against what you're used to. It goes against what you're used to. God's going to tell you something, and you're going to be at a crossroads. I'm going to go this way, I'm going to go this way. A crossroads, and you're going to have to decide. This is what God says, but this is what I'm used to. Some of you have already talked to me about that, and I'm trying to help you understand that God has a purpose for sending you this way.
Yeah.
He has a perfect plan. He's got something over here that you won't find over here.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yep.
He's not ever going to try to hurt you. I mean, come on. If you ever think that he's going to hurt me, just go back to Calvary.
Yep.
Go back to the cross. Yep. And realize, look what he's already done for me. He sent his only begotten Son, who shed his perfect, precious, pure blood, sinless and pure and undefiled. And he shed that blood for me. He gave me everlasting life by his grace, by his holiness. He gave me everlasting life. I didn't have to pay a dime for it. All I did was receive it as a gift.
Yeah,
and go back to Calvary and remember and remind yourself, look, he's got a way. He can do this. He loves me. He knows what I need. He knows where I'm at. He knows what's going on. I can trust him.
Amen.
It's always going to come to a place where, okay, this is far enough. And I understand that. I've been there, probably be there this week. And you will too. Oh man, this is far enough, Lord.
Right.
No, it's not.
Amen, brother. Preach.
Okay. Here we go.
Come on. Right. Amen.
This is far enough, Lord. No, it's not. Are you sure? Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I'm not used to this. You know, and God knows.
Yeah.
He knows where you're at. If you're a new Christian, He's not going to tell you to, you know, to go preach in the nursing home next week.
Yeah.
He's not going to go. He's not going to do that. He knows where you're at. He's going to lead you in baby steps.
Amen.
Right.
But sooner or later, you know, you're going to be able to take a real step.
Yeah. Amen.
Before you know it, you'll be jogging.
Oh yeah.
Amen. And then you'll be running around like crazy.
Yeah.
Walking, running, living by faith.
Right.
By the way, this is the most exciting life there is.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because I don't know what's going to happen. I just know God's alive. God saved me. God's leading me. I don't know how this is going to end up, but man, I'm excited to find out.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Amen.
But see, rebellion is so misunderstood. We don't understand it. Well, I'm going to do what makes sense. No. What you need to do is what God says. I promise you. I promise you, it will not go wrong.
Right.
Amen.
Rebellion is evil. It's badly misunderstood. It boasts itself against God's word. But number three... rebellion, and listen, I want you to understand this, is literally bowing down to the devil.
Yeah.
Is it that bad, preacher? Well, again, don't misunderstand it. According to God's word, it is that bad.
Yeah.
Look in verse 9. Saul and the people spared Agag. Now, Agag was the king of Amalek.
Right.
The king of the flesh. The devil.
Amen. Right.
This is a picture of the devil. Agag was spared. Sure, all of his people were wiped out.
Yep.
But they left the king who could just go raise up more people.
Yeah, right.
After all, they were following him in the first place.
Right.
He's the king. So my rebellion left the king alone. I wasn't going to take the king. I'm going to leave the king there. I may wipe out some of the people, but I've got the king still. He's still fine. He's still well. But what am I saying? I'm saying, well, I can't kill the king. You know, he's the king.
Yeah, right. Right.
Oh, King Agag, I will not kill you.
Oh.
You see, rebellion is where I'm letting the king of the flesh, the king of evil, live instead of doing what God says.
Yep.
And taking him completely out of my life.
That's right.
Let me say it this way. The one thing that I continue to allow in my life,
yep,
the one thing that I think it was not that big of a deal, even though God says it, I'm still letting it stay there. I'm still playing with it. I'm allowing that one thing to continue to overcome me. He's going to continue to reproduce, multiply,
right,
grow like weeds. Have you ever noticed how weeds grow so much faster than grass?
Yeah.
Brother Josh and his family used to live over there on Bradshaw, and when did y'all move out? You don't remember now, huh? It's been a while. But we go by there every day to and from church, and I'm not kidding you, there are weeds in that yard now taller than me, but the grass is about down here.
Yeah, right.
I mean, those weeds are, I mean, seriously, they're monster weeds, man. You don't want to mess with them. But the grass is right about here, man.
Yeah.
Weeds grow faster. They just have the ability because they're weeds.
Right.
We see the sickness, the flesh, the sin, the things that we just continue to allow in our lives, they continue to reproduce and grow faster. They spared the devil. They spared the king of Amalek. See, we can't give any place to him. We can't let the king, hey, that's royalty.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's important.
Right.
I can't kill the king. But he's the one that you need to kill in the first place.
Amen.
He's the king of Amalek.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't get rid of this one thing. I'm used to this. It's part of my life. It has been for so long. I'm comfortable with this. Whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it is, but that one thing is where the devil is going to continue to have place in your life. He's going to continue to keep coming in and coming in and coming back and coming back, and he's just going to keep growing and growing and reproducing and multiplying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I'm bowing down to him because he's the king. Well, who cares if he's the king? I serve the King of Kings. Amen. The King of Kings told me to kill you, so I'm going to do what God says. The King of Kings is my king. You're not my king. But why do I bow down to him instead of him?
Right. Yep. Evil.
Rebellion's evil because it allows the devil, it just keeps giving him place.
Yep.
It's just one person. It's just the king. But it's the king. Rebellion's evil because, next, it breeds lies and deceit.
Yep.
Because I don't do what God says, then I start having to lie about it.
Yeah.
Then I start having to deceive people, deceiving people around me, acting like it's not really there.
Right.
Look in verse 15. Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep." Wait a minute. Verse 9 says, "Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep."
Right.
Saul was lying.
Yep. Amen.
Why? Because he did not obey.
Yep.
Are y'all listening to me tonight? Are y'all okay? I've spared the king, so there's room for the devil to keep working. So now I'm going to try to lie about what really happened.
Right.
I'm going to make excuses and try. I'm going to try to deceive the preacher.
Right. Yep.
Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and try to deceive God.
Right.
See, the rebellion that I allow in my life, it breeds lies and deceit.
Yeah.
It breeds an attitude of where I can't be honest if I had to.
Yeah, that's right.
The devil is, by the way, according to John chapter 8, verse 44, is the father of all lies.
Yep.
Everything about the devil is a lie, it's deceit. And when I'm in rebellion, I'm bowing down to him, so it's breeding in my heart his lies and his deception. And instead of me having a life that's above board and honest, I'm always catching myself, and before I know it, I'm not even catching myself, but I'm always trying to justify my deeds, and I'm always blaming somebody else.
Yeah, amen.
You see, rebellion's evil, folks.
Yep. Amen. That's right.
It's evil. See, he said, well, the people this and the people that. Look in verse 21. The people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the thing. He said it again.
Yep.
He's just lying through his teeth now.
Right.
Rebellion's evil, folks. It breeds lies and deceit.
Yep.
But lastly, and I'm done. Verse 23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, which, by the way, is sorcery. It's evil spirits. You understand? It's evil, straight out of hell. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Samuel tells the king Saul, he says, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Saul lost his throne right there.
Yep.
He lost the respect of the people. He lost the blessings of God.
Try.
See, rebellion always brings great loss and shame. Always. I don't know if you're listening to me tonight, but I sure hope you understand what I'm saying. Rebellion always brings great loss and shame. Verse 24. Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. Turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." Boy, sounds like he should have gotten right there. But Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee. Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Boy, sounds like God is harsh there. He said, where's the grace? Where's the mercy? Now wait a minute. Again, understand something. God knows the heart. Listen now. Saul is not repenting here.
Right.
Saul is simply trying to get back what he lost when he realized what he lost.
Yeah.
If he was repenting, he would have repented way over here when he first got caught.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he would have repented before he got caught.
Yeah.
He would have said, "Samuel, you're right," and he would have killed Agag right there.
Yeah.
But see, instead, God said, "I rejected you from the throne." And see, then all of a sudden the tears start flowing.
Yeah, oh, right.
I'm not trying to be ugly, but understand something. That's not repentance. That's just where you got caught.
That's right.
And you, those of you who have children, you know what I'm talking about. Just because a child starts crying because they get caught, you understand, well, wait a minute, you're not really sorry. If you were sorry, you would have come to me first before you got caught.
Right,
parents? Am I right?
Yeah.
Just because you got caught, now you're crying. Well, wait a minute. You may be sorry, but you're not really sorry for what you did. You're sorry you got caught.
Yep. Uh-huh. That's right.
God knows our hearts. And so, all of a sudden, Saul started confessing. But listen, God said, it's too late. When is it too late? Listen, I'm not telling you anything about what God knows what he's doing. The point is, God saw that Saul was really not sorry. He was just trying to get things back that he had lost. God said, "No, I'm not giving you back the kingdom." Samuel said, "No, I'm not going to return with thee. You rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Samuel, verse 27, turned away, about to go away. He had laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Now listen, I'm reading these to you because I want you to see what's going on here. Samuel's telling Saul, "Listen, no, it's too late. God said no more." And he turns to walk away, and Saul falls down and grabs a hold of his garment and tears it. Now listen, I'm talking about the king.
Yeah. Amen.
Listen to me tonight. Don't start fidgeting with everything else around you. Pay attention. I'm almost done. He fell down like a groveling beggar and ripped Samuel's clothes in two because he's completely disgraced his whole life.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to... His life is... he's now laying in the dirt, hanging on to the preacher's clothes, whipping them in two, begging for God. But see, God understood that this man was never going to get to a place where God could use him. He wasn't... But the point is, the rebellion brought great loss, but not just loss, but disgrace, shame.
Right.
You remember the prodigal son, don't you?
Yeah.
The prodigal son was down here slopping the hogs and eating what he was feeding the hogs. That's a terrible disgrace compared to where he came from. And Saul, here's the king laying on the ground in the dirt trying to get things right with the man of God. Saul is groveling.
Yep.
Like a poor beggar, but he's the king. He's disgraced his whole life. He's lost his throne. He's lost his kingdom. He's disgraced now. He's laying in the dirt, tearing the preacher's clothes. And I mean, do you see what I'm saying tonight?
Amen.
Why? What did he do that was so bad? Can I tell you something tonight? This was not the first time. Okay. Don't get nervous. This was not the first time. Saul had a history of this.
Yep.
Not obeying God.
Right.
I want you to understand something. God never takes away our salvation. Again, I want you to understand that. But he says, he told Saul, he said, "Saul," look in verse 28, "Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." And that's a reference to David. But he says, Saul has come to a place where God realizes that he can't trust you. I don't have the time to take you over to Romans chapter 1 and different places where God turns them over because they just refuse to be submissive. They just refuse. Now, will God keep working in their hearts? Absolutely, if they're saved. But you understand something? Saul, from this point on, listen now, he was never the same. He was never the same.
That's right.
He literally became a raging lunatic, full of hatred and envy, anger. He died by falling on his own sword. Disgraced. Suicide. It wasn't because God couldn't, it was because Saul wouldn't. Rebellion is evil, folks. When I know what God wants, I have to do it. I have to do it. God knows my heart. He knows what's going on. I'm never going to reach a time of perfect, sinless perfection. But I have to do what I know God wants me to do. Rebellion is so evil. It's badly misunderstood. It boasts itself against the Word of God. It bows down to the devil. You're letting the devil tell you what to do instead of the Word of God. It breeds lies. It breeds deceit. And it brings ultimately great loss and shame to your life. And listen, I mean, I could read you these stats again. All of these teenagers, all of these kids, all of these divorces, all of this heartache, broken lives and broken homes. It all boils down to where I just don't care what God says.
Yep, that's right.
What's wrong with America today? I just don't care what God says.
Yep, right. Amen.
Is there hope? Absolutely there's hope. I mean, we're sitting right here.
Amen. Amen.
We're sitting right here. This is the hope.
Yep. Amen.
We're the hope of America.
Right. Yep.
And churches like us that understand this book is God's Word. This book is perfect and pure. This book is right. And if God tells me to do something, even though I don't understand it, by the way, God's not going to go tell you to kill anybody. Relax. Relax. But He is going to tell you to kill the flesh, crucify it. The die to yourself, in other words.
Right.
Die to yourself and find what God wants and do it. Rebellion is going to end you up in a hog pen. It will end anybody up. Me too. You want to see what happens to a preacher who rebels? Oh, well, we could go down here to jail and find out the ones who didn't do what God said. Yeah. There's any number of them all across the news on a daily basis.
Amen.
Yep.
I'm no exception. I want you to have the best that God has for you. I want you to have all that God has for you. And I know you do too. But it all boils down to, okay, I'm going to find out what God wants and I'm going to do it.
Yep.
It's going to be easy until it becomes uncomfortable. Awkward. Something I'm not used to, that crossroads. I promise you, if you'll trust God, trust Him, He won't fail.
That's right.
He won't fail. Let's bow our heads tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight with humble hearts. Lord, we know that there's things always in our lives that we face. Decisions, Lord, where we want to do certain things, but Lord, You told us not to.